I think my gosh, you may want 10 different preparations for something like that.
I think so. I don't know,
Yes.
man. When I get in the kitchen, I just start cooking.
Yes,
I
that's
don't
quite
actually cook.
amazing. And it was Ekadasi Prasad also. Still, she made so many different varieties. Very nice. I think everyone was happy.
Maharaj, I could not see Pradyumna Prabhu's photo in this.
No, he wasn't there at that time. He came yesterday.
Okay.
All right, so we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 7, Text 46. Should we schedule incarnations with specific functions? And Shanta Maharaj, would you like to read?
Okay, Maharaj, I can try.
Thank you.
Maharaj, okay, link. ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णभीष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिस्वरूपदामोदरे स्वामिति नाम्नि। नमो सद्भक्तमने मणिपूरुद्भवे च प्रभुपादस्य वाणी प्रचारनिरतायते। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदे श्रीगौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। शेड्यूल्ड इनकार्नेशंस विथ स्पेसिफिक फंक्शंस ते वै विदंत अति तारन्ति च देव मयां स्त्री शूद्र न सबरापि आप जीवः यद्य अद्भुत कर्म प्रायेण शील शिक्षास त्रियांग ज्ञानपि किं सु श्रुत धारणा ये सरेंडर्ड सोल्स इवन फ्रॉम ग्रुप्स leading sinful lives such as women, the laborer class, the mountaineers and the Siberians, or even the birds and beasts can also know about the signs of Godhead and become liberated from the clutches of the illusionary energy by surrendering unto the pure devotees of the Lord and by following in their footsteps in devotional service. Purport. Sometimes there are inquiries as to how one can surrender unto the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita 18.66, the Lord asked Arjuna to surrender unto him, and therefore persons unwilling to do so question where God is and to whom they should surrender. The answer to such questions or inquiries is given herein very properly. The personality of Godhead may not be present before one's eyes, but if one is sincere in wanting such guidance, the Lord will send a bona fide person who can guide one properly back home, back to Godhead. There is no need of material qualifications for making progress on the path of spiritual realization. In the material world, when one accepts some particular type of service, he is required to possess some particular type of qualification also. Without this, one is unfit for such service. But in devotional service of the Lord, the only qualification required is surrender. Surrendering oneself is in one's own hand. If one likes, he can surrender immediately without delay, and that begins his spiritual life. The bona fide representative of God is as good as God himself. Or, in other words, the loving representative of the Lord is more kind and more easy to approach. A sinful soul cannot approach the Lord directly, but such a sinful man can very easily approach a pure devotee of the Lord. And if one agrees to put himself under the guidance of such a devotee of the Lord, he can also understand the signs of God and can also become like the transcendental pure devotee of the Lord and thus get his liberation back to Godhead, back home for eternal happiness. So, realization of the signs of Godhead and relief from the unnecessary, useless struggle for existence are not at all difficult for the willing candidate, but they are very difficult for persons who are not surrendered souls, but only simple, profitless speculators. Saswat prasantam abhyam pratibodha mantram sudham samam sad asatah paramatma tatvam sabdo na yatro puru karak kavam kriyanto maya paraitya avimukhe cha vilaja amana tad vai padam bhagavata paramasya pumso brahmeti yad vidur ajasra sukham visokam. What is realized as the absolute Brahman is full of unlimited bliss without grief. That is certainly the unlimited phase of the supreme enjoyer, the personality of Godhead. He is eternally void of all disturbances and fearless. He is complete consciousness as opposed to matter, uncontaminated and without distinctions. He is the principal primeval cause of all causes and effects, in whom there is no sacrifice for fruitive activities and in whom the illusionary energy does not stand. Purport. The supreme enjoyer, the personality of Godhead, is the supreme Brahman or the Samanvanam because of his being the supreme cause of all causes. The conception of impersonal Brahman realization is the first step due to his distinction from the illusionary conception of material existence. In other words, impersonal Brahman is a feature of the absolute, distinct from the material variegatedness, just as light is a conception distinct from its counterpart darkness. But the light has its variegatedness, which is seen by those who further advance in the light, and thus the unlimited realization, the ultimate realization of Brahman is the source of the Brahman light, the supreme personality of Godhead, the Samanvanam or the ultimate source of everything. Therefore, meeting the personality of Godhead includes the realization of the impersonal Brahman as realized at first in contrast with material inability. The personality of Godhead is the third step of Brahman realization. As explained in the first canto, one must understand all three features of the absolute, Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Pratibodha mantram is just the opposite conception of material existence. In matter, there are material miseries and thus in first realization of Brahman, there is the negation of such material inabilities. And there is a feeling of external existence distinct from the pangs of birth and death, disease and old age. That is the primary conception of personal Brahman. The Supreme Lord is the supreme soul of everything. And therefore, in the supreme conception, affection is realized. The conception of affection is due to the relationship of soul to soul. A father is affectionate to his son because there is some relation of nearness between the son and the father. But that sort of affection in the material world is full of inability. When the personality of God is met, the fullness of affection becomes manifested because of the reality of the affectionate relationship. He is not the object of affection by material tinges of body and mind, but he is the full, naked, uncontaminated object of affection for all living entities, because he is the super soul or Paramatma within everyone's heart. In the liberated state of affairs, the full-fledged affection for the Lord is awakened. As such, there is an unlimited flow of everlasting happiness without the fear of its being broken, as we have experienced here in the material world. The relationship with the Lord is never broken. Thus, there is no grief and no fear. Such happiness is inexplicable by words, and there can be no attempt to generate such happiness by fruitive activities, by arrangements and sacrifices. But we must also know that happiness, unbroken happiness, exchanged with the Supreme Person, the Personality of Godhead, described in this verse, transcends the impersonal conception of the Upanishads. In the Upanishads, the description is more or less negation of the material conception of the things. But this is not denial of the transcendental senses of the Supreme Lord. Herein also, the same is affirmed in statements about the material elements. They are all transcendental, free from all contamination of material identification. And also the liberated souls are not devoid of senses, otherwise there cannot be any reciprocation of unhampered spiritual happiness exchanged between them in spontaneous unbroken joy. All the senses, both of the Lord and the devotees, are without material contamination. They are so because they are beyond the material cause and effects, as clearly mentioned herein, Sad Asataha Param. The illusionary material energy cannot work here and work there, being ashamed before the Lord and his transcendental devotees. In the material world, the sense activities are not without grief, but here it is clearly said that the senses of the Lord and the devotees are without any grief. There is a distinct difference between the material and spiritual senses, and one should understand it without denying the spiritual senses because of a material conception. The senses in the material world are surcharged with material ignorance. In every way, the authorities have recommended purification of the senses from the material conception. In the material world, the senses are manipulated for individual and personal satisfaction, whereas in the spiritual world, the senses are properly used for the purpose for which they were originally meant, namely the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Such sensual activities are natural, and therefore sense gratification there is uninterrupted and unbroken by material contamination, because the senses are spiritually purified. And such satisfaction of the senses is equally shared by the transcendental reciprocators. Since the activities are unlimited and constantly increasing, there is no scope for material attempts or artificial arrangements. Such happiness of transcendental quality is called Brahma Sukhyam, which means which will be clearly described in the fifth canto. Sadryon Niyamyam Yattayo Yam Karta Hetim Jhayu Sarvad Eva Nipanam Nipana Khanitram Indraha. In such a transcendental state, there is no need of artificial control of the mind, mental speculation or meditation as performed by the jnanis and yogis. One gives up such possessions as the heavenly king Indra forgoes the troubles to dig a well. Purport. A poor man in want of water digs a well and undertakes the trouble of digging. Similarly, those who are poor in transcendental realization speculate on the mind or meditate by controlling the senses. But they do not know that such control of senses and achievement of spiritual perfection are simultaneously made possible as soon as one is factually engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Person, the Personality of Godhead. It is for this reason that the great liberated souls also desire to be associated in hearing and chanting the activities of the Lord. The example of Indra is very appropriate in this connection. King Indra of heaven is the controlling deity or demigod for arranging clouds and supplying rains in the universe. And as such, he does not have to take the trouble to dig a well for his personal water supply. For him, digging a well for a water supply is simply ludicrous. Similarly, those who are factually engaged in the loving service of the Lord have attained the ultimate goal of life, and for them, there is no need of mental speculation to find out the true nature of God or his activities. Nor do such devotees have to meditate upon the imaginary or real identity of the Lord, because they are factually engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The Lord's pure devotees have already achieved the results of mental speculation and meditation. The real perfection of life is therefore to be engaged in the love, in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So Sriyasam Api Vibhur Bhagavan Yatosya Bhava Sarva Bhava Swabhava Vihitasya Sataha Prasiddhi Dehe Swa Dhatu Bighame Nuvisriyam Mane Vyamo Eva तत्र पुरुषो ना विशीर्यते जह. The personality of Godhead is the supreme master of everything, auspicious because the results of whatever actions are performed by the living being in either the material or spiritual existence are awarded by the Lord. As such, he is the ultimate benefactor. Every individual living entity is unborn, and therefore, even after the annihilation of the material elementary body, the living entity exists exactly like the air within the body. Purport. The living entity is unborn and eternal, and as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 2.30, the living entity is not adjusted even though the material elementary body is vanquished. As long as the living entity is in material existence, actions performed by him are rewarded in the next life or even in the present life. Similarly, in his spiritual life also, actions are rewarded by the Lord by the five kinds of liberation. Even the impersonalist cannot achieve the desired merging into the existence of the Supreme without being favored by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.11 that the Lord awards similar results as one desires in one's present life. The living entities are given freedom to make their choice, and the Lord awards them accordingly. It is the duty of everyone, therefore, to worship devoutly only the personality of Godhead to achieve his desired goal. The personalist, instead of speculating or meditating, can directly execute the routine devotional service of the Lord and thus easily obtain the desired goal. The devotees, however, are naturally inclined to become associates of the Lord and not merge in the spiritual existence as conceived by the impersonalist. The devotees, therefore, following their constitutional instincts, achieve the desired goal of becoming servitors, friends, fathers, mothers, or conjugal lovers of the Lord. The devotional service of the Lord involves nine transcendental processes, such as hearing and chanting, and by performing such easy and natural devotional services, the devotees achieve the highest perfectional results, far, far superior to merging into the existence of Brahman. The devotees are therefore never advised to indulge in the speculating upon the nature of the Supreme or artificially meditating on the void. One should not, however, mistakenly think that after the annihilation of this present body, there is no body by which one can associate with the Lord face to face. The living entity is unborn. It is not that he is manifest with the creation of the material body. On the other hand, it is true that the material body develops only by the desires of the living entity. The evolution of the material body is due to the desires of the living being. According to the desires of the living being, the material body develops. So from the spirit soul, the material body comes into existence, generated from the living force. Since the Maharaj, I want to ask something here. This living force is something like consciousness here, or what, or pranabhai, or what it is.
So what does he say here? It's just like the air within the body.
According to the desires of the living being, the material body develops. So from the spirit soul, the material body comes into existence, generated from the living force. Maharaj?
Yes?
Maharaj?
Yes, what happened?
I can hear Maharaj.
Huh? Yes, I could not hear you either.
I was asking Maharaj, is this, this living force is consciousness or what it is?
Did you read what it said? What does it say? And it tells, explains there very clearly. What is, read again and see if you understand.
According to the desires of the living being, the material body develops. So from the spirit soul, the material body comes into existence, generated from the living force.
And then?
Since the living being is eternal, it exists just like the air within the body. Air is within and without the body. Therefore, when the external covering the material body is vanquished, the living spark like the air within the body continues to exist. And by direction of the Lord, because he is the ultimate benefactor, the living entity is at once awarded the necessary spiritual body, benefiting his association with the Lord in the manner of sarupya, equal bodily features. Salokya, equal facility to live on the same planet with the Lord. Shasti, equal position of opulence like the Lord. And Samipya, equal association with the Lord.
Then
the Lord is
what is it that you don't understand? Anything?
What this living force, what does it mean, living force?
According to the desire of the living being, the material body develops. The evolution of the material body is due to the desire of the living being. So what is making him living?
Desire.
No. What is making him desire?
The soul, soul or consciousness.
The Atma.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's Atma, therefore he has desire. Therefore he has makes a material body according to the desire. So, from the spirit soul, a material body comes into existence. Generated by the living force. Force of life. Force of his desire, force of his nature creates the material body. His desire, he wants some particular situation, and he gets that according to the material nature.
So means the desire means it is, we cannot say that directly it is like soul, it's like something like consciousness. Because according to consciousness, desire changes.
I guess you can say that also. I'm not sure, Maharaj, what to say here.
Oh, okay, Maharaj. So I'm reading my next paragraph. The Lord is so kind that even if a devotee of the Lord cannot fulfill the complete source of devotional service unalloyed and uncontaminated by material association, he is given another chance in the next life by being awarded a birth in the family of a devotee or rich man, so that without being engaged in the struggle for material existence, the devotee can finish the remaining purification of his existence, and thus immediately after relinquishing the present body, go back home, back to Godhead. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. In this connection, detailed information is available in Bhagavat Sandarbha of Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhupada. Once achieving the spiritual existence, the devotee is eternally situated there, as already discussed in the previous verse. Soyam te vihitas tatha bhagavana viswa bhavanah samasena harir nanyad anyasmat sad asaccha yat. My dear son, I have now explained in brief the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is creator of the manifested worlds. Without him, Hari, the Lord, there are no other causes of phenomenal and noumenal existence. Purport. Since we generally have the experience of the temporary material world and the conditioned souls trying to lord it over the material worlds, Brahmaji explained to Narada that this temporary world is the work of the external potency of the Lord, and that the conditioned souls struggling here for existence are the marginal potency of the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead. There is no cause for all these phenomenal activities but him, Hari, the Supreme Lord, who is primeval cause of all causes. This does not mean, however, that the Lord himself is disturbed, distributed impersonally. He is aloof from all these interactions of the external and marginal potencies. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.4, it is confirmed that by his potencies alone, he is present everywhere and anywhere. Everything that is manifested rests on his potency only, but he, as the Supreme Personality Godhead, is always aloof from everything. The potency and the potent are simultaneously one and different from one another. One should not depreciate the Supreme Lord for the creation of this miserable world, just as one should not blame the king for creating a prison house in the government. The prison house is a necessary institution of the governmental establishment for those who are disobedient to the laws of the government. Similarly, this material world full of miseries is a temporary creation of the Lord for those who have forgotten him and are trying to lord it over the false manifestation. He, however, is always anxious to get the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead. And for this, he has given so many chances to the conditioned souls via the authoritative scriptures, his representatives, and the personal incarnations also. Since he has no direct attachment to this material world, he is not to be blamed for its creation. Idam bhagavatam namo namo yanme bhagavato ditam sangraho yam vibhutinam tvam etad vipuli kuru. O Narada, this science of God, Srimad Bhagavatam, was spoken to me in summary by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it was spoken as the accumulation of his divine potencies. Please expand this science yourself. Purport. The Bhagavatam in a nutshell, spoken by the personality of Godhead in about half a dozen verses, which will appear ahead, is the science of God, and it is the potent representation of the personality of Godhead. He being absolute is non-different from the science of God, Srimad Bhagavatam. Brahmaji received the science of Godhead from the Lord directly, and he handed over the same to Narada, who in his turn ordered Srila Vyasadeva to expand it. So the transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Lord is not mental speculation by the mundane wranglers, but is uncontaminated, eternal, perfect knowledge beyond the jurisdiction of material modes. The Bhagavata Purana is therefore the direct incarnation of the Lord in the form of transcendental sound, and one should receive this transcendental knowledge from the bona fide representative of the Lord in the chain of disciplic succession, from the Lord to Brahmaji, from Brahmaji to Narada, and from Narada to Vyasa, from Vyasadeva to Sukadev Goswami, and from Sukadev Goswami to Suta Goswami. The ripened fruit of the Vedic tree drops from one hand to another without being broken by falling suddenly from a high branch down to the earth. Therefore, unless one hears the signs of Godhead from the bona fide representative of the disciplic succession, as above mentioned, for one to understand the theme of the signs of Godhead will be a difficult job. It should never be heard from the professional Bhagavatam reciters who end their livelihood by gratifying the senses of the audience. Yatha haro bhagavati nrinam bhaktir bhavishyati sarvatmanyo akila adhray iti sankalpya varnaya. Please describe the science of Godhead with determination and in a manner by which it will be quite possible for the human being to develop transcendental devotional service unto the personality of Godhead. Hari, the super soul of every living being and the samanvanam, source of all energy. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is the philosophy of devotional service and the scientific expression of man's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prior to the age of Kali, there was no need for such a book of knowledge to know the Lord and his potential energies. But with the beginning of the age of Kali, human society gradually become influenced by four sinful principles, namely illegitimate connection with women, intoxication, gambling, and unnecessary killing of animals. Because of these basic sinful acts, man gradually became forgetful of his eternal relation with God. Therefore, man became blind, so to speak, to his ultimate goal of life. The ultimate goal of life is not to pass a life of irresponsibility like the animals and indulge in a polished way in the four animal principles, namely eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. For such a blind human society in the darkness of ignorance, Srimad Bhagavatam is the torchlight to see things in proper perspective. Therefore, it was necessary to describe the science of God from the very beginning, or from the very birth of phenomenal world. As we have already explained, Srimad Bhagavatam is so scientifically presented that any sincere student of this great science will be able to understand the science of God simply by reading it with attention, or simply by regularly hearing it from the bona fide speaker. Everyone is hankering after happiness in life, but in this age, the member of human society, blind as they are, do not have the proper vision that the personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all happiness, because he is the ultimate source of everything. Janma Dasyataha, in Bhagavatam 1.1.1. Happiness in complete perfection without hindrance can be achieved only by our devotional relationship with him. And it is only by his association that we can get free of distressful material existence. Even those who are after the enjoyment of this material world can also take shelter of the great science of Srimad Bhagavatam, and they will be successful at the end. Narada is therefore requested or ordered by his spiritual master to present this science with determination and in good plan. Narada was never advised to preach the principle of Bhagavatam to any livelihood. He was ordered by his spiritual master to take the matter very seriously in a missionary spirit. Sorry, Maharaj, it's taking a long time to open. Okay. Mayam Barnayoto Musya Iswarasya Numo Dhata Sunvato Sradhaya Nityam Maya Yatam Na Muyati.
Maharaj?
Yes, Maharaj.
You add a lot of us to the words, which are not there in the Sanskrit. Try to say it without any adding When you add to a word, it negates it.
Okay.
Try to say it without extra Go ahead, try it again.
Mayam varna yato musya.
No, you added you said amusya. It's narayanayam. Varnayato musya.
Mayam varnayato musya.
Next one.
Actually, they should be pronounced as amusya because that apostrophe is there.
Yes,
so that
but it's a diphthong. Diphthong, so you don't pronounce it. Mayam varnayato musya. The us is silent, it's represented by the apostrophe. It's when it's connected like that, you don't pronounce it.
So, shall I read, Maharaj?
Yes.
Aham varna yato musya iswarasya nu mudataha. Sunvata.
But you're saying You're saying Srinvataha. Is Srinvataha. Srinvataha Sradaya Nityam.
Sunvataha Sradaya Nityam Maya Yatam Na.
And Ma. You're saying Maya Yatma. Maya Yatma Namuyati.
Maya Yatma Namuyati.
Okay, try to be conscious of your, I think unconsciously you're saying but it's not there in the Sanskrit.
Yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Okay.
The Lord's activities in association with his different energies should be described, appreciated and heard in accordance with the teachings of the Supreme Lord. If this is done regularly with devotion and respect, one is sure to get out of the illusionary energy of the Lord. Purport. The science of learning a subject matter seriously is different from the sentiment of fanatics. Fanatics or fools may consider the Lord's activities in relation with the external energy to be useless for them, and they may falsely claim to be higher participants in the internal energy of the Lord. But factually, the Lord's activities in relation with the external energy and the internal energy are equally good. On the other hand, those who are not completely free from the clutches of the Lord's external energy should devoutly hear regularly about the activities of the Lord in relation with the external energy. They should not foolishly jump up to the activities of the internal energy, falsely attracted by the Lord's internal internal potential activities like his Ras Leela. The chief reciters of the Bhagavatam are very much enthusiastic about the Lord's internal potential activities, and pseudo devotees, absorbed in material sense enjoyment, falsely jump to the stage of liberated souls and thus fall down deeply into the clutches of external energy. Some of them think that to hear about the pastimes of the Lord means to hear about his activities with the gopis or about his pastimes like lifting the Govardhan hill, and they have nothing to do with the Lord's plenary expansions such as the Purusha avataras and their pastimes of the creation, creation, maintenance and annihilation of the material worlds. But a pure devotee knows that there is no difference between the pastimes of the Lord either in Rasa Leela or in creation, maintenance or destruction of the material world. Rather, the descriptions of such activities of the Lord as the Purusha avataras are specifically meant for persons who are in the clutches of the external energy. Topics like the Rasa Leela are meant for the liberated souls and not for the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls, therefore, must hear with appreciation and devotion the Lord's pastimes in relationship with the external energy, and such acts are as good as hearing of Rasa Leela in the liberated stage. A conditioned soul should not imitate the activities of liberated souls. Lord Sri Chaitanya never indulged in hearing the Rasa Leela with ordinary men. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the signs of God, the first nine cantos prepare the ground for hearing the tenth canto. This will be further explained in the last chapter of this canto. In the third canto, it will be more explicit. A pure devotee of the Lord, therefore, must begin reading or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning and not from the tenth canto. We have several times been requested by some so-called devotees to take up the 10th canto immediately, but we have refrained from such an action because we wish to present Srimad Bhagavatam as the science of Godhead and not as the sensuous understanding for the conditioned souls. This is forbidden by such authorities as Sri Brahmaji. By reading and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as a scientific presentation, the conditioned souls will gradually be put a higher status of transcendental knowledge after being freed from the illusionary energy based on sense enjoyment. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of second canto, seventh chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Scheduled Incarnations with Specific Functions.
Very good. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Any comment, question?
Well, I would like to ask. Actually, this question of, you know, the living entity who is desiring the Atma. So generally, we hear that because it is an organic expansion from the Lord. First, Krishna is there, then it's Baladev, then further expansions are there to Mahavishnu, and then actually this Tathashakti is there from the Lord. So this Tathashakti means the potential for enjoying and potential for serving are equally there actually. So the living entity has desire, and the desire is completely, he has a free, some kind of free will or desire, and according to association, he may come to either material world or spiritual world. That's what we hear in general. So what I want to ask Maharaj is that in general, this is the expansion of Krishna. But sometimes it is said that there are expansions of Radharani also, and they never come to this, you know, material world. But actually there is something called Prakriti, which is a feminine energy. So that must have expansion from, you know, this the feminine potency of the Lord. So that Prakriti is also of two types, spiritual and material. So don't you think in some sense there is some kind of, you know, the whole thing is coming down as an organic unity, this from Radha and Krishna?
I'm not sure what you want to say. That's definitely, Sri Radharani is in charge of the devotional sentiment. Her Haladini Shakti, the pleasure of serving, always influenced, always manifested infinitesimal portion of that serving potency. There are her expansions. Who have faith, heart inhale, the faith and then the sense of pleasure of devotion, faith in the service of the Lord and the pleasure of devotional service relished by them. They are part of her energy. Krishna is the chit potency, some of it potency. So the potency of knowledge, of consciousness, cognition, are those under that influence. And then the manifesting potency, Sandini of Balaram. So everyone, every living entity has some kind of relationship like through that Satchidananda or some of it, Sandini, Saladini, under that protection of that energy or the influence of that energy. When they come in touch with the material, atmosphere, those and pure potencies become polluted, can become distorted by the contact of the material energy. Soul doesn't become contaminated, actually. Or those potencies don't become contaminated, but the nature of the material energy is under the influence of Mahamaya, the external potency. And so those original pure potencies are, what do you say, perverted or reflected in a different way. I think Bhaktivinoda has mentioned that also. Thus is when the love of God is misunderstood for some finite entity. And like that, he gave each of the sinful activities, lust, anger, greed, and so forth. He explained them how they arise by misapplication of the original pure principles. I don't remember exactly his explanation, but he gave something like that. So that all have their origin in the spiritual plane. But due to misidentification and misconception, we think we misunderstand those things in the wrong way and utilize them in the wrong way for malicious events, malicious purposes and consequences will occur.
Maharaj?
Yes?
Maharaj, I was thinking that, you know, in the purport, Prabhupada was saying that, you know, the study about this Vishnu incarnations is emphasizing, and especially about the creation and other things. You know, there's sometimes, you know, people think that in absorbing in higher things is the only objective of, you know, Gaudiya conception. But also I heard that Saraswati Prabhupada wanted we should study about, you know, different Vishnus and their functions. And that will also help us to become, you know, properly Krishna conscious and follow properly Gaudiya principles.
Mm-hmm.
So that point Prabhupada very much emphasizing it seems in that.
Yes. Yes, anything we are meditating on that is connected with Krishna, that is purifying, purifies our material conceptions of life. very important. And that's why Srila Prabhupada is explaining here. He never translated the 10th canto actually completely. He only translated several chapters of it. And later on, some devotees have tried to present the 10th canto and others higher cantos, but Prabhupada never did. He only presented the first 9 cantos and a couple of chapters from the 10th about Krishna's pastimes. So, why is that?
I think when somebody becomes qualified for that, then automatically the Bhagavatam will come to him in that way.
Yes.
But majority of people in this world, they are only in material conception. So they have to be trained for stages where they are.
Yes, it's only knowledge about this higher topics. An actual realization of them, the two different things. Sometimes this knowledge about leads to imaginary existence, imaginary conceptions, imaginary life of devotion, a life of imagination, making imaginary devotee, devotee in your one's imagination only. The actual life of a devotee is missing for them. And the actual relishing of the pastimes of the Lord is missing. And those who accept imaginary conceptions of everything are satisfied with imaginary conceptions. Real gold and something that is painted to look like gold, they're not the same thing. So genuine knowledge has to come first, and genuine purification comes with that knowledge. One can have actual knowledge only if there is purification. Only one is purified. Sattvic. Then knowledge comes as a consequence of that. Transcendental knowledge. And that comes down, that is descending, that comes by Krishna's grace. When he is pleased with the devotees, the Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam, he gives them the knowledge. The intelligence to enter into his world. Yinamam upayantite.
Maharaj.
Yep.
I was reading this Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhagavad Gita, and there he is, you know, in second chapter describing this Buddhi Yoga. And what I found very interesting was that he says this Buddhi Yoga is only one. But sometimes we say Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. But he describes that when the entire domain of karma is crossed, then the kind of intelligence that comes is known as Karma Yoga. And when the entire boundary of the jnana, knowledge, is crossed, then the kind of the buddhi that comes is known as buddhi, jnana yoga. And when that begins to touch the beginnings of bhakti, then it becomes known as bhakti yoga. So in all the stages, the buddhi yoga is working. So it seems that in every stage of devotional service, whether in the level of karma or jnana or in bhakti, in all stages there is some kind of help from the Lord by which he can overcome the successive stages.
Yes. But was he saying, what was the purport previously to this? Saying that the direct sensation of the Lord, right? Direct perception of the Lord comes from Paramatma. From the Atma to the Bhagavan is through Paramatma. Not through the senses directly. So the Paramatma is giving intelligence where how to detect the Lord. So direct perception and indirect perception, they're not the same. One tries to perceive through the senses, he won't be able to achieve much. But if he takes the guidance from within, and then he will understand how to proceed properly to perceive the Lord. Direct perception versus indirect. Do you remember we read that?
In Bhagavata Maharaj?
Yes, just previously. What was that verse? Does anyone know?
Maya.
Huh?
Today, Maharaj?
Yes.
Yatha haro bhagavati nidam bhakti bhavishyati sarvatmani akhiladhare akhiladhare iti sankalpa varnaya. This one?
Which one? Shashvat prashantam abhayam pratibodhanat matram. Text 47.
Maharaj?
Yes, Maharaj.
Maharaj?
Yes.
Narayan Maharaj from Germany wanted to join. He came late actually, so
who?
You can add him. This is our Narayan Maharaj from Germany, Maharaj, disciple of Govinda Maharaj. Who?
Where is he?
I added to the list, Maharaj.
Maharaj, there is one more verse in the.
Oh, wait a minute. Do you see where he is saying that?
Yes, Maharaj. 2747.
But here he explains. The Supreme Lord is the supreme soul of everything, and therefore, in the supreme conception, affection is realized. The conception of affection is due to the relationship of soul to soul. Father's affection is to his son because there is some relationship of nearness between the son and the father. But that sort of affection in the material world is full of inebriety. And when the personality of God is met, the fullness of affection becomes manifest because of the reality of the affectionate relationship. He is not the object of affection by material tinges of body and mind, but he is in the full, naked, uncontaminated object of affection for all living entities, because he is the super soul, or Paramatma, within everyone's heart. In the liberated state of affairs, the full-fledged affection for the Lord is awakened. So there's the difference, you see, between direct and indirect. Direct and indirect relationships. That is the point.
Okay,
then?
There was one more shloka that I was just remembering in this context.
What is this? Is Swami, Swami, who is calling that Narayan Maharaj, you said? Shanta Maharaj, who is there?
This is Narayan Maharaj, Maharaj. Maharaj, can you hear? Narayan Maharaj? Hello? Hare Krishna.
Hello. Who is that?
This is Santo speaking. Narayan Maharaj, can you hear?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Sripad Bhakti Madhava Puri Maharaj wanted to, you know, ask who is joining. So can you talk?
Yes.
Dhanavad Maharaj. I am Madhava Puri. Dhanavad.
Dhanavad Puri Maharaj.
Dhanavad.
So I only came late to the Bhagavatam class.
And yeah, Bhagavatam, you are the living Bhagavatam.
Hare Krishna.
You are living so, Bhagavatam. You can.
Where are you right now? In Siliguri?
Now we are all over the place. Santa Maharaj is in Siliguri, and I am in USA.
Oh, you're in USA. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And you are in Germany, huh?
No, I'm in Uti, Tamil Nadu.
Oh, I see. Okay. Very good. Very nice. All right. You were there for Gaur Purnima.
Yes, yes. Okay. And on Saturday, so day after tomorrow, I will go to Govardhan, to Vrindavan. All right. Well, nice talking to you, Puri Maharaj. I don't think we ever met.
No, I'm never visible to anyone. only through sound you can get in touch with me.
Yes. Modern communication technology.
Only by electricity is it possible to get in touch with me.
See? It can all be applied in the service of our Lord.
Hare Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thanks for inviting me.
Yes.
And hope the next time over I can join earlier so that I get a little of that Qatar.
Hare Krishna. Yes, we'd like to hear from you also.
Well, we right now, we don't have at night usually, Mangal Maharaj, he gives some Krishna Katha from Chaitanya Bhagavat, and that's very nice to listen to. But that's what we broadcast from here right now. Mangal Maharaj is here with us.
Yes, very good.
Yeah.
Where, on Skype? On Skype you are broadcasting?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes?
I don't. Yes, I think it is. It is broadcasted at night also, but it is night here, our time, so 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. So that might not fit your time frame there in the States.
7:30 would be 10 in the morning here.
Oh yeah.
10 a.m.
Yeah. Well,
so you're
that
on,
wouldn't be too bad.
Online at 10 a.m. Okay. If any devotees are there, they like to hear.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
I thank you.
Ah, my
very much, my Dandavat.
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 Dandavat Maharaj.
Dandavat Maharaj.
Then, Muni Maharaj, you had another question?
No, I mean the same thing that you were telling, Maharaj, regarding Buddhi Jo. So in Gita also there is one sloka that there are two kinds of people, one who are karmanishtha and the other who is jnananishtha. So both of them can become devotees by surrendering to Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, those who are karmis, they need not become jnanis, and those who are jnanis, they need not again become karmis, but from wherever they are, they can immediately become devotees by this Buddhi Yoga process. So it seems that the boundary of karma and boundary of jnana may not be successive, but they're just different types of consciousness. This is 3.3 Maharaj, Sloka 3.3 from Gita. Loke asmin dvividha nishtha pura prukta mayanagha Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam.
right.
So those who are
Krishna is the ultimate source of everything. Aham sarvasya bhavo. And then he also says, ye yata mam prapanyante. So everything is arranged by him, coming from him. So there is no question of separated. They're separate things from him. Whether it be jnana or karma or whatever. It's all by his energy. Being conducted under his energy and under his supervision. And from his, originating from him. The cause, sarva karana karanam. The causes that are behind everything are ultimately related to him, as we are now nicely being explained in that Vedic creationism. Everything has a cause. That's science. Science is to make a causal analysis of everything. But modern science neglects everything but two causes, a material and efficient cause. And they know nothing of the formal and final causes and the other causes. But they are at work in everything. And so to analyze scientifically according to all these forces, causes, that is the Srimad Bhagavatam's stance. And also Bhagavad Gita. How to trace back everything to the cause of all causes. So you will find like that some unity among all these different things. Unified conception. All right, I think we better end. It's getting late for everyone, especially for those who have to work tomorrow.
Dandavat Maharaj.
Dandavat.
Dandavat Maharaj.
Dandavat.
Dandavat.
Dandavat. Dandavat. Dandavat. Dandavat. Dandavat. Dandavat. Dandavat. Dandavat. Dandavat. Dandavat.